It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express.
Hello, and welcome to Cult Episode 128. I'm Mordrigan, and I will be your GM for tonight for Cthulhu, Horror on the Orient Express, and we're actually doing The Devil's Simular. Hello, I'm Mordrigan, and I will be your GM for tonight for Horror on the Orient Express, The Devil's Simular, Session 1, because this is the first session. We will now go round the table and explain who we are.
I am Bloodied, and I am playing Renaud of Flanders, a veteran Frankish knight.
I'm Nyx, I'm playing Gilles de la Grave, a Frankish knight and heretic.
Yay!
I'm Archive, and I'm playing Brother David, a Frankish Cistercian monk.
Cistercian.
Okay.
I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Andre of Troy. I am a normal Frankish knight.
I'm not a heretic or anything. Right, okay. Before we start, however, we've got a tea. Could somebody please explain the tea?
Well, it's my tea.
Yeah.
It's Tailors of Harrogate Rose Lemonade Infusion, which I bought because it reminded me of Turkish Delight.
Yep.
It does remind you of Turkish Delight.
The smell is quite Turkish Delight. I much prefer the taste of this to Turkish Delight, but the smell is very similar.
The longer you leave it to infuse, the more lemon comes out, and the less rose.
Yeah, I think that works better for me.
It is very lemonade-y, weirdly.
It is nice. I really like this. I did dump sugar in it, because I dump sugar in everything.
Much like I do.
Yeah, and it's really nice. It's a nice, hot, lemony, soothing
It's
tea.
A hot, lemony drink that doesn't taste like Lemsip.
Mm. There's a lack of paracetamol for one
thing. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I think this is the rose. What was the rose is not as strong as the lemon, but it's still there. And it provides a nice sort of smoothing
baseline.
Sort of a smoothing baseline to the to the flavour.
We're getting all technical in our reviews. It's amazing.
I don't know. Archive hasn't said anything yet.
She's pulling
one of those faces.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's a hot lemony drink. I'm not generally that keen on hot lemony drinks, and there's a hot lemony drink that also tastes of flowers, and I don't think that's a good thing either. So
Archive is voting against.
Voting against. Yes.
However, you did find the packet quite amusing.
I did, mostly because the packet tells you, for the perfect cup, use one tea bag per person. Pour over freshly boiled water, and then infuse.
Ew. So you pour the bags over freshly boiled water. That's just going to be wrong.
Indeed.
Yeah, I don't think that's maybe what they meant, but it was entertaining to read.
Indeed.
That's what they got.
So, for the most part, though, everybody's, apart from Archive, sort of finds it pleasant.
It is actually pink, which is nice. Not just a boring colour.
It is pink. Mm. Yeah, it's quite pleasant. I don't think I'd choose it over other things, but I won't say no to drinking it.
Fair enough.
I was kind of waiting for somebody else to speak at that point, and because I'd finished.
It's the nicest herbal-y tea that I personally have got and decided to drink. Mm. I normally don't like them that much.
So it's getting high praise from you then, effectively.
Yeah.
If you want something infusion-y and not an actual caffeinated tea, this is very nice and I highly recommend it.
I'm totally going to be awake. It's going to be fine.
Hooray.
It's not going to be fine.
totally going to fall asleep.
Right then, I suppose what we should do is we should actually start with a recap of what happened last week, which was the end of the Dreamlands. Because this, today we'll start with a fade-out of Oliver Oldstaff reading a book. And then you'll all start playing people in the book. So, just recap quickly how you finished up the last leg of the Dreamlands Express.
Well, King Karanis came aboard.
Aye.
From Yorkshire, as it turns out. In that regal and shit.
Aye, I'm right regal, me.
Yeah, aye. And there was a banquet in his honour, which was a bit stilted to begin with, because no one wanted to do anything wrong.
But then it was fine, because I kind of manipulated you into doing tricks.
Yes, I
am. And Zuzu.
For Zuzu, did some dancing as well, which went over very well with the crowds.
Well, yeah, because she's very good at dancing.
Yeah, she is. And the bodyguards are terrible conversationalists, as we found out.
Yeah, they are. They suck.
Oh, King Karanis then used his dreaming powers to make a palace of ice.
Yep, he did that thing.
Karakov seemed way too interested in that.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, guns!
Dude, he could totally make guns. That dude could totally make guns.
Because when you're the king of the Dreamlands, what you really want to do the other time is make guns.
For a nutter. but yeah, it's a possible job, I suppose.
Just in case, you know, something happens and he needs something to fall back on.
Being a king doesn't work out for him.
Yeah, if being the sole ruler in a kingdom full of people who love you doesn't work out, then he can always fall back on Maker of Guns.
Woo. So yes, the next day, we did some trials. Well, judgment things, to be precise.
Mm-hmm.
He says the same things.
we were a bit superfluous, really.
Well, we did provide information.
We did provide information, but in the case of the Ib versus the Cynathians, he basically...
He found the way that you were intending to argue anyway.
He...
Because it's blatantly obvious because the Cynathians are dickheads.
Unfortunately, he doesn't have any real power, so nothing...
Over them.
Yeah, so nothing's actually going to happen.
You basically
doom.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Doom!
There will be some doom.
Doom
will occur, and then there will be no Cynathians.
And there was
much rejoicing. We're very, very sorry.
Not really.
No.
We're not really sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Oh, dear.
And then the trial of...
Mirren and Mir,
Crabman...
The crab dude.
The crab dude. Basically, the king had a conversation with a cat, and then
his cat showed up.
This cat appeared, and
did
there was like
gestures.
some
meow 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 meow
cat conversations that
Objection.
We have no idea what was going on.
But he basically found that he couldn't rule anyway. They had to take him back to Catland. Yes.
Well, no, he did rule. He ruled
that
they had
to go back to Catland.
See, I remembered the name.
Yep.
Go me.
Edgar Wellington became the king's taxidermist.
Yep.
So that was nice for him.
So
he got somewhere to go in the afterlife. So that was nice.
Well, it's his afterlife.
It's his afterlife. Well, no, his afterlife, yeah. What his personal afterlife is going to be, being a taxidermist for a king. Fair does.
Yeah. There are worse things that could have happened, like fading away to nothingness.
So yes, and then King Karana suggested we get some sleep because we were going to need it for what lay ahead.
Oh, I've just worked out why I can't pick this lock.
He's picking locks. For those of you at home wondering what the heck.
It's got tumblers on both sides. That sucks. Okay, please continue.
Okay. So yes, King Karanis suggested we would need some sleep because we would need our rest for what was to come next.
Yeah.
And then we went to bed and woke up in on the Orient Express, going really slowly through lots of snow.
Yes, you are once again proceeding through the snowy, snowy wastes, heading towards, I think it's Trieste next.
Mm.
However, while the rest of you are busy, like, gallivanting around the train and no doubt having a wonderful time, Oliver Oldstaff settles down in a corner and begins to read a book. A book that you somewhat stole.
As
you all want to do.
We just stole. Well, from, I stole.
Yes. From the library in Venice. So, the scene is set. Right. Are you on board the ships assaulting the land wall and its towers? Are you attacking the lower walls, or are you part of the Mounted Knight Unit? Decide now.
What?
No.
What were the options again?
Upper walls, lower walls, mounted.
Right.
Now, I should point out that in terms of booty, and also glory, being upper walls or lower walls is going to be a lot more than mounted knights. Because the mounted knights can't do anything until the gates are open.
Oh, well.
Well, looming ahead of you are the massive walls of Constantinople, which you are approaching in a number of different boats.
Well, I would be going upper walls then, because okay. Loot and glory.
Yes.
I want those.
Where are the rest of you?
Andre is all for anything but brutality, basically. So he just wants to, I guess he'd be mounted.
Okay.
Trotting in at the end, trying not to kill anyone.
Right.
Heretic Knight. Sorry, I can't... Oh, Gilles, isn't it? Gilles, what's it?
Yeah, that's an alpha ball.
You stick with me.
Yeah, we'll... You're trying to find... What are you doing? Trying to find loot and glory.
Loot and glory.
Well, there might be nice loot with you.
Yes. Make sure you, you know, keep your mitts off what's mine.
None of it's yours. That's the point.
We'll be soon.
Yes. So, you're... You, Greedy Knight. I will learn the characters' names eventually.
Renault.
You are on the uppers. You are... That's
Andre.
Like Andre. You are in the horses. Heretic Knight. Up on the uppers. Monk.
This is God's will, but I suppose there's no need for a monk to be in the thick of the action, so I'll go with the mounteds.
Okay. So, we will start with Andre and the Monk. That sounds like a 60s detective show, doesn't it?
Brother Andre. David.
Andre and Brother David. You are in the belly of a ship. So you two are in the belly of a ship. All around you, there are mounted knights already in their armour, which is a little bit of a worry to you in particular, Mr. Monk, because you're very aware that occasionally, like, boats sink. And all of these armoured knights, if this boat sinks, are going to die. Now, your boat is sort of heading towards the walls at relative speed, but not too fast, because... There's no point getting there until somebody's assaulted the gates to open the gates and let you all in. Now, at the moment, there are supposed to be several attacks all across the front wall of Constantinople. It would have been far better to go over the bridges. But rather cleverly, the middle parts of these bridges were made of wood. And when the Byzantines saw you coming, they set the fuckers on fire. And riding across flaming bridges doesn't really work for horses. Andre, you're raring to go. Well, as raring as you ever get. There's lots of people sort of standing around on their horses. Most of the people in this sort of area are either the really, really rich and powerful people who are there just for the glory of riding through, waving a sword around and going, huzzah, huzzah. The more elderly types who wouldn't really want to walk into battle, they just sort of prefer to, you know, whop the infidel as they go past. The fact that these people aren't infidels and they are in fact Christians is neither here nor there. So, yeah, you're sort of surrounding... There is a hard core of maybe 20 or so really veteran horseback fighters. Again, mostly Franks like yourself. mostly Franks like yourself. But none of you will be able to do anything until the gates are down. Which brings me over to the heretic and the greedy one. Remind me of your names again.
Renard.
Gilles.
And Gilles, I believe.
It
was
Gilles.
It was Gilles. Actually, when I was learning French, that was the name they gave me to learn French as. I don't know why. It's not anything like my real name.
They thought you were a child-murdering Satanist. Gilles de Rais was a French knight who was a Satanist.
Oh. No, I don't think so. It would have been a bit of an unusual decision for my like middle school French teacher to decide on, but it's a possibility, I suppose. But yes, Gilles and Renaud, you are on a you're on a boat still, but this boat has got a siege tower on the front of it. Which you are all currently standing behind because the Byzantines are firing flaming arrows at it. And basically when it gets there, you are going to rush up it to get to the top of one of their towers and then fight your way into the tower, get down to the lower wall, fight your way across the lower wall, get to the gate, open the gate so the mounted knights can get in. Around you are the thirstiest of the knights, the ones who really want to get in, get the best gear, and find the nicest women. The problem here is, your bosses have said you will respect all of the women, and you will bring all of the loot to a central location where it will be portioned out appropriately. Judging by these people around you, some of the knights are holding sacks. Not swords, they've got sacks. But they're all ready to get in and get on. Renaud, make me a dodge check.
Red tens?
Yep,
passed.
A crossbow bolt goes whizzing past your face and embeds itself in a peasant behind you somewhere. Ah! Sploosh. Huh. It's raining pretty heavy, says one chap. You know him? He's a guy called Sir Andrew de Rebois. He's also a Frankish knight. He doesn't work for your lord, he works for a different one, whose name is... Who's the other one? Marquis Boniface of Montserrat.
Seen worse.
Another chap, sort of is standing just the other side of him and between you, Sir Andrew, and then yourself, Gilles. And this is a man called, Sir Goodmarie. He also works for, your boss, actually.
Count Baldwin.
Yes, Count Baldwin, your gracious leader, who has led you on this crusade to totally and absolutely free Jerusalem from the hands of the infidels.
Yes.
But the fact that, like, you've spent most of your time besieging Christian cities and are now currently assaulting Constantinople at the requirements of a bunch of Venetians is neither here nor there. That sort of thing happens. But this Goat Murray, he's quite young. He hasn't really been in very many wars before. Ahead of you, there's like a little group of Venetian knights who've pushed their way to the front, basically going, well, this is our attack. We're leading this attack, so we're going to go first. And the rest of you are like, fair enough. But your boat is approaching the walls at high speed, and there's maybe six or seven boats like yours to either side, all with these huge wooden towers that they've chopped down all the trees on the other side of the Bosphorus, put them all together, lashed them onto the thing, killed about 80 cowls and just put the wet hides over the front so that they won't burn. It's a bit stinky, but so far, your boat isn't on fire. The boat to your left, on the other hand, is very much on fire, and people are sort of trapped between staying on a burning boat until it hits the coast, or leaping overboard and drowning, and they're just running all back and forward. You can see the odd horse just sort of racing about the place, which makes no sense why they bothered to take their horses on a tower boat. Further back and to the right of you, you can see the boats that are carrying the horsemen, but they're not going to be able to do anything until you've taken the gate down. So, you are heading towards the walls. Do you want to do anything?
So, well, I've seen who's about me, so I'm just going to make sure I'm sort of positioned with other people I know I can count on.
Well, Gilles.
Gilles. There was the other...
Goat Marie also is for your lot.
And I know the other
and Andrew Durobois is at least Frankish. The rest, most of them are Venetians.
Is he competent?
He's pretty competent. You've not seen him fight personally. Well, not outside of tournaments anyway. He wasn't at the Siege of Zara. Mm. Which incidentally was, yes, another Christian city that you totally didn't invade. You totally invaded it. And you totally stuck to the rules about, like, not ravishing the women and piling up all the loot. You totally did that. You totally didn't do anything other than that. Yeah, you totally did everything other than that.
Ah, well, you know. I don't give a damn about the women. That's not my concern. I don't get involved in that.
But
the
loot, money!
No, the money, the loot, fuck that. I got
probably
there first.
I think it
also
will. Women, loot, yes.
Yes, women.
Women, loot! Loot and heresy.
I can use the loot to buy willing women.
I can use the loot to buy heresy. Can somebody give me a D10 that's not a horrific colour? Yeah, just...
That's a nice shade of blue. I've got an orange one if you want.
Yes, actually, I'll take the orange one.
Okay. I left my dice at home.
There's one here as well.
Ooh.
I wasn't paying attention.
But yeah, your boat is sort of surging forward. You reckon, because of the tower... It's a bit difficult to mostly use sails. So you've actually got oarsmen in the bottom just sort of rowing frantically. And apart from the flaming boat, which is actually sped up on account of the guys in the bottom are trying to get to the coast before they burn to death, they're probably not going to be successful because the wind that they're causing by going faster is making the flames get bigger. Your boat is actually going to be in front.
Hmm.
So, do you want to do anything before you hit the wall?
I'll just look at the other Frankish guys and just make sure we stay together.
Oh, yeah, yes. Don't worry about that. I'll stick with you.
Good.
Says Andrew. Yes. Don't worry. I'm ready to fight these, what are they?
Byzantians?
Oh, right. Byzantines? Right, yes. Muslims, are they?
I don't know particularly, possibly, might be heretics.
Actually, I think they might sort of be Christians, but they're the wrong sort, you know. Oh, it's another of those, is it? Yes. Mm. The Venetians all turn around and go, shush, they're evil! Right, okay.
Yeah,
and then there is a crunching sound as your boat doesn't so much reach the walls and stop, as ride up the rocky base of the walls and then smash into the wall. At the top of the tower, you hear two big ka-chunks as these massive iron claws drop down from either side of the tower and land on the top of the tower, gripping it in place. Could you all make me a dexterity check? Well...
No, I did not make that.
No, I didn't make that either.
Okay. Well, you two and Sir Andrew go flying as the thing smashes into first the sort of rocky beach and then the wall. Sir Gomery manages to stay upright. Like, he does sort of a bit of a Neo lean as he comes in. But yeah, he stays upright. The Venetians all sort of stumble into the base of the tower, but they very quickly recover and start swarming up it. And in the case of a couple of them, then immediately falling off and going, into the rocky ground either side. About 10, 15 of them start swarming up it, and then it's your lot's turn. Climbing checks.
Okay, climbing.
Yes, very much yes.
I don't know if I have climbing.
Oh dear.
I'm not seeing it listed under skills.
It would be under skills, that's where mine is.
Yeah, I do not have climbing.
Okay, well, in which case, what is the base for climbing? Climbing is base technique.
Okay, this is going to be interesting. Define interesting. Oh god, we're all going to die. I half that.
Right, okay.
0-7.
Right, so anyway, you hair up the side of it. You also make your way pretty much up the side of it pretty quickly. Goat Marie again just leaps on and starts scaling it. Sir Andrew, on the other hand, reaches up and manages to put his hand on the side where all the wet things are. He pulls himself up on one rung, grabs the side on the other one, lets go, and then just slides back down, lands and falls over backwards. And then he sort of, because the reason why you're having to climb up sort of like the struts is because the Venetians are getting in the way on the ladders. So he just stomps over to one of the ladders and just shoves the Venetians out of the way and starts going up the ladder. They're like, hey, wait, no, this is our attack. Oh, shut up and get out of the damn way. I'm a knight, you know. So am I. Not a proper one, I'm a Frankish knight. And he starts making his way up that way. At the top, there's like a big bridge that's currently up, with like lines of shields on the right and left. The shields are currently getting peppered with crossbow bolts and bow shots, and they're coming through. The crossbow bolts are like literally they're hanging from the feathers on the inside of the shields. So they're making it almost all the way through and then just sort of stopping. And they're just sort of hanging. The bow shots, they're not going through quite so far, because they're only short bows. But there's a lot of them. It sounds like hail. It sounds like hail. It's like... And you sort of get up there, and there's maybe 10 or so Venetians, and you lot, Goat Marie, and eventually Andrew. That's how his name is pronounced, by the way. GAUTMARIS. And he's French. Goat Marie.
Good old Goat Marie.
I didn't write the names.
No, because I'm
it could be Gwat Marie, I suppose. Gwat Marie's? Gwat Marie's?
Don't Goat Marie.
I'm going with Goat Marie. It's Goat Marie. So there's about 14 of you, and there's two ropes holding up the bridge. So there's two hooks that have already fallen and hooked your tower onto the top of their tower. So that when you hit, they just sort of fell down and clamped in place. They're really big and heavy, so lifting them up so that they can shove you off is really difficult. But then there's a bridge that you can run across to get to the actual tower. It's currently up, though. Because it's stopping them just shooting you full of crossbow bolts, which they are obviously trying to do, because there's several crossbow bolts and arrows sticking through this thick bridge that you've got. Well, I suppose we should drop the drawbridge.
Shields to the front.
The Venetians go, we'll go first, thank you. And they haven't got massive shields, though. They've got like these sort of... They're teardrop shaped, but they only sort of cover the chest area. Whereas you guys are carrying like Frankish shields, if you've got shields, which are, you know, the sort of old Norman style shield that covers pretty much all of you in a teardrop shape. All emblazoned with the Red Cross of the Crusades. Because you're pious, pious people. You are not pious people. Right then, well, you Franks can cut the ropes and we'll rush across.
Okay.
So, you lot are at the back going, fair enough. Chop. You both chop the ropes. The drawbridge clangs down. And the front rank of the Venetians goes, as about 15 Byzantines in three rows of five just sort of unleash their crossbows. The back guys have got short bows, the front two ranks have got crossbows. the next rank of Venetians, one of them goes forward, but the rest sort of go, not realizing that those guys have just unloaded their crossbows. Now is the time to charge. And this one guy charges across and he leaps down amongst them and he hacks down with his sword and he cracks one of the Byzantines on the helmet. And then all of the other ones draw knives and just chop him to pieces. Literally, there are chunks of Venetian everywhere. The other Venetians are really taken aback by this. They're like... a couple of them sort of start staggering forward across the bridge and sort of arm's length sparring with the Byzantines, who've now had chance to pick their actual shields up and draw their real swords. A couple of the bowmen fire, a couple of Venetians go down from that. What are you two doing?
Quickly, before they can get any further stuck in, go!
You sort of... You sort of push Venetians, but they're sort of doing... They don't want to go forwards. They seem not to want to go forward. Gilles? What are you doing, Gilles? The problem is, they've mostly filled the little bridge as well.
Hmm. This means you can shoot over the top of them, can you?
You probably could.
Well, if they're not getting out of the way, then I might as well...
You could stand up on the side of the tower and fire in.
Does that involve some way of hiding from...
No, that's the thing. You'd have to stand up and potentially draw fire from the rest of the walls.
No.
So you also just sort of stand there then. This is not enough for Sir Andrew de Auraboise, who goes, well, to hell with this, puts his shield down in front of him, and just charges forward. He just charges forward and... sweeps two Venetians off of the bridge, causing them to plummet 10-15 metres onto quite jagged rocks, and then slams the side of his shield into the face of a Byzantine guy, smashing all of his face up and actually curving his helmet in. And then follows it up by picking that guy up bodily and throwing him at the bowman. Goat Marie goes, fine, and follows and starts fighting as well. He sort of, you haven't seen Goat Marie fight, and he's a bit young, but he's a bit good. He leaps across the bridge following where Andrew has made the hole. He does by accident stab a Venetian in the hip and knock him off the tower, which incidentally has cleared the bridge enough for you lot to get across, should you wish to do that sort of thing. But then, as he's bringing the sword out, because he's stabbed down with the sword reversed and his hand on the pommel, as he brings it back out, he brings it out across the throat of one of the Byzantines, just sort of pez dispensering him to death. He just sort of flops over the back of the tower, and there's a wet thump somewhere beyond. You can see a couple more Byzantines rushing up the stairs to try to get to the top of the tower. At the far end of the tower, you can also see a couple of Byzantines and a big cauldron of oil sort of dragging it towards where the lower part of the wall is. So possibly there's some of your guys on the lower wall that are about to get a face full of boiling oil. What did you do?
I'm going to show to the fuckers with the boiling oil.
Fair enough. Make me a swording check, I assume.
Right, break your sword. I passed that.
Okay, roll me some damage.
From sword, 1d8 plus 1d4.
Do you need those things?
If I could possibly borrow them, that would be fantastic.
A d8 and a what? A 4?
A d4. Yep, d8 and d4, please. Thank you. And that would be a...
Point yourself towards the microphone.
That would be a 9.
Okay, then.
Thank you.
Ouch. So you rush on to these two blokes who... They've got there's a brazier of coals that is on fire underneath. And a big sort of bucket of oil on, like, a cranked stand. And you rush up on the guy who's about to crank it over and just stick his sword through his back. He says, "Ah!" and turns around and feebly tries to swipe at you with his sword. with a 91, he hits you, but it's a very weak blow. He semi-slaps you with the sword.
Oh, shove him away.
He topples over the back of the tower. The other one sort of draws his sword and begins to try and defend himself. Gilles.
I would like to sword the nearest person not on my side.
Does that include the Venetians?
Not at the moment.
Okay. You rush across after Goat Marie, who him and Andrew are pretty much clearing the top now. But as you're crossing, you see one of the Byzantines is coming round behind Andrew. So, go for him.
Yeah. Yes, I pass that.
Okay. You rush up and you stab him a good one. Roll me some damage.
Four.
It's a light gash across his forehead, but it bleeds quite heavily, and he stops trying to sneak up on Andrew and turns to concentrate on you. He does actually hit you. Oh, I need some dice now. I bet there isn't a 1d4 up here, is there? Can you pass me the massive box of dice, please? He's only wielding, like, a relatively short sword, though. It'll be fine.
Oh, there's one over here.
Oh, can I have the 1d4, then?
Yes.
That'll be better. So he slashes at you. He's a pretty big guy. He will do you 6 points of damage. However, how much does your armour stop? Which I believe is 1d8 for you.
1d8 points of protection.
Yep. So make a roll. So, he brings his sword, you slash him across the face, and he staggers back, bringing his little sort of razor sharp short sword up, and he sort of waves hands at you to try and distract you, and then slashes across your chest, and just raises sparks on the chainmail. He looks at you, you look at him, it's gonna end badly for the man with the short sword. Meanwhile, the Venetians are sort of starting to rally a little bit, and they're pushing back into the Constantinople guys. Sorry, the Byzantine guys. Goat Marie grabs hold of there's a Byzantine guy coming up out of the tower trapdoor thing, and as he steps up, Goat Marie leans down, grabs under his knee and just tips him over the side, and then stabs down into the trapdoor beneath, and you hear a "ah!" And then Andrew just smacks the Byzantine guy out of the way and just steps off the edge and drops down into the floor below. Then you hear fighting begin. You, meanwhile, have got the other oil chap.
Uh-huh.
He sort of... He's got one hand on the crank and one hand menacing you. So if he really tries, he could put the oil over.
I'm going to spend luck to pass that.
Okay. You smack him one.
Okay, damage roll?
Yep.
That would be 10.
Ow! Okay, yeah. He sort of got his hand on the crank and he's menacing you. Now, the crank is obviously the most dangerous bit, so you bring your sword down on his elbow and take it off at that point. While he's going, "Ah!" and clutching at the stump, you just kick him off the tower. There's another wet thump. You're fighting the guy who's just tried to gut you. He looks unimpressed that you've got such good chainmail.
Oh, no. Yes, I just hit him.
Okay. Maybe some damage. Oh, dear.
What's the damage again?
Did your neck crank and you just become audible?
No, it's the dice.
Nine.
No. Right, so he's already got a slash across his forehead, which is causing blood to run into his eyes, and he put himself out of position trying to
making
slash
pretty
it.
Sparks.
Yeah. So you pretty much just reverse the grip on your sword and jam it in between his neck and his shoulder. And then he stops moving. Strange that, given you probably stabbed him in most of his organs. It takes a bit of a while to actually get the sword back, though. You end up having to kick him off the tower and hold on tight. Judging by the sounds from downstairs, it seems to be going quite well for Andrew. You can see that the Venetians are starting to thin out the Byzantines up here. There's maybe two or three of them left. Goat Marie starts heading down the ladder. He's not like Andrew. He doesn't just step off the edge. He actually climbs down. What are you lot doing?
Can I pour this oil down the inside onto like some Byzantines?
On the inside of the wall? Yeah.
On the inside of the wall.
If you can get Gilles to help you, because it's quite heavy. And...
Gilles, give me a hand with this.
Okay. What are we doing?
We're going to rain oil on them. Remember, it's called irony.
Right. You're helping him. Mm-hmm. So you can make me a strength check with a bonus die.
Wait, hang on. Who's actually got better strength?
I have 65.
I have 80.
So you're helping her, right? him, her, Gilles, anyway.
We're all men here.
That's true.
Yeah. I pass that.
So between the two of you, you go and drag the boiling oil over to the inside, where you can see groups of Byzantine troops trying to get in to come up the tower. Now, there's two very dead Byzantines already down there that have fallen off the top of this tower. And then you all go... It's quite a horrific sight, because everybody's covered in, like... black tar that is steaming quite hot. But you lot aren't particularly certain how this machine's supposed to work. So you pour, and then you keep going a little bit too far, and the whole thing topples over. Oh. Taking the coals with it.
Oh!
You two have to duck back as everything down there just goes... and there's just, like, screaming and flailing and running and mostly dying. From the right-hand side where the wall... the wall is the left and the right-hand side. You can hear fighting down there now. And what sounds like Goat Marie swearing quite a lot of interesting swear words at the infidels. Back to you two. You are currently sat in a boat... your boat has still got its sails up. You're feeling a bit queasy because you're inside and sat on horses, and your horses aren't very happy, and quite a lot of horses aren't happy all at once in the same quite enclosed space. So it's a bit smelly. And then, like, there's a sort of grinding sound under the bottom of the boat. And everybody's like, get ready. And the front ramp comes down. And everybody at the front sets off at a dash. And then there's a... and they all fall off their horses. And the second rank sort of goes, ooh. and pull up sharply. And everybody sort of pulls up just outside of the door. There's lots of screaming horses and the occasional screaming knight, but most of them were killed in the first thing, and they are covered in crossbow bolts. The walls are probably not taken yet, and the gate doesn't look like it's open either. What are you two doing?
Well, I would probably guess that I'm fairly near the back.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to in any way encourage anyone to go and get themselves killed by pressing forward. Just going to kind of shout to see if, you know, anyone can, like, see what's happening.
One of the boats at the front goes, the walls are still defended, and I don't think they can... And then he falls over with a crossbow bolt through his face.
Right.
There's like a steady stream of crossbow bolts coming into the end of the boat.
Does anyone at the front have have shields on them at all?
Yeah, but it's shields, lances, and giant horses.
Yeah.
Once you've taken the horse down, killing the man who was riding it is actually surprisingly easy, because he's usually lying under a screaming horse. The walls are supposed to be clear before you reach the beach.
Yes.
The problem is you've reached the beach ahead of schedule, it turns out.
We really need to wait for the other people to do their jobs.
Do either of you want to do anything? Or do you huddle in the safety of your boat?
God. As much as I am fully aware that God will protect me...
Yes,
during this crusade, I don't want to overstretch him by galloping out into...
He's very busy. He's got a lot of people...
God will protect you. There's only a certain amount of protection to go around, and walking out into what seems to be a rainstorm made out of crossbow bolts might not be the best choice ever.
It's not in today's plan, particularly.
He's defending both sides, technically, so...
Well, yes.
Evens out.
Okay. So... We will go back to we will go back to the people on the wall. The top of the tower is pretty much clear. When you look over the wall side, you can see on one side Goat Marie is sort of making fairly good headway towards the next tower, which is where the burning boat should have come down. So there's you lot, where the burning boat should have been, and then another boat. So he's basically fighting his way to connect up with the other boat. Andrew, who is a bit wounded, it has to be said, has gone the other way, heading to help out a group of troops who've come in on the wall. It seems to be, you recognise one of the guys is Sir Peter of Amiens, who's another of the Frankish knights. He's trying to get down to, there's like a little postern gate down there. It's probably not the main gate that you need to be opening, but it would help get people off the beach. Now, you can see the main gate further along. If you could get across this bit of wall and you were willing to jump, you could come down behind the guards of that gate and possibly open it.
Okay, let's aim for the main gate. Okay. That's the real glory there. Get the gate open. Heroes.
So you need to go down onto the wall and then across. Mm-hmm. How are you getting down to the wall? Are you jumping or are you taking the slightly more sane route of walking down the inside of the tower?
Let's walk down the inside of the tower.
Okay. You come downstairs and the first thing you notice is the Byzantine guy that Andrew landed on when he just stepped off into the air. And then... the wreckage of everybody else who him and Goat Marie took out. The door to the other side is just smashed open and you can see Goat Marie fighting his way. There's not very many troops between him and the next tower. You presume because they'd set the boat on fire, they shifted to this tower and the other tower, which explains why he's going that way. On the other side, Andrew has sort of fought his way a little way in onto the next wall. But they've brought up a unit of, like, Greek mercenaries, and they're starting to push him back.
I'm going to go help him before he gets himself killed.
Okay. There's a lot of Greek mercenaries. There's about 20 of them here.
Well, we'll just have to kill all of them then.
Fair enough. You rush out as Andrew's, like, smashing one repeatedly in the face with his shield and holding off the others with his sword. Ah, glad you could make it. You take those ones. Hey, you, Geo, whatever your name is. Through the middle!
Very well.
Off you go, Renner.
Okay, I'll hit the nearest one then.
Yep. These guys aren't wearing armour. Okay. They're a bit tough.
Could I try and aim for a lesser armoured part?
You can, but you'd need to half it.
Okay, so I need to half it.
Well, technically we should be using 7th edition rules. They'll try and fight back.
Okay, so they'll make active defences.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, everybody's supposed to always do that because I keep forgetting the rules. But anyway.
Okay. So halving it is 37. I'll just go for a general attack.
Okay. He halves his.
I halve mine too.
Okay, so it's a draw. Draw attacker wins, isn't it? No.
I can't remember.
I will look it up.
Okay.
I think it's attack...
That would make sense with Cthulhu, because it's more brutal. And it's Cthulhu. The universe is cold and uncovered.
The reason why I'm having difficulty remembering this is we haven't had any combats in the 1920s part of the game, I don't think. We've had some in the Dreamlands, but that's it.
Well, we have punched people.
And in,
Yes, but only by
Blood Red Fairs.
Ah, yeah, yeah. It's not often that we do it, though, is it?
No, we're not very fighting. Well, there was also Izzy ninja-ing.
Oh, well, yeah, but that was pretty much
half
opposed.
Half of Venice.
Half of Venice. What? Half of Venice.
You broke impressive. A dude's neck.
You fixed him.
Sort of, with a chair.
You fixed him with a chair.
You're more dangerous than Seth Rollins.
Thank you.
Right, so basically, you attacked him and he tried to defend with fighting. Because you drew, you hit him.
Okay. So, yay.
So if you defend with fighting and you draw, you lose. If you defend with dodging and you draw, you win.
Okay.
Dodging is safer than fighting, but you get less chance to stab him in the guts.
7.
His armour doesn't stop very much of that at all. You sort of catch him in the stomach. You feel the cloth armour give and then just sort of part. He's not down, but he's not looking well. Shield.
Yes. Slash at someone where I was vaguely pointed out.
There's plenty of targets. There's lots of them. There's 3 of you against, like, 20 people here.
Yes, pass.
Okay. Also passes, but he's defending with fighting, so you hit him.
Oh, yay. 8.
You bring your sword down on his shoulder, and he rolls his shoulder to put a metal pauldron in the way, and you sort of clang off that and just sort of slash his arm as you're going down. But it was a pretty good defensive mover. It saved him from most of the blow. They take a swing at you. Renault first. Do you want to defend with fighting or dodging?
Can I defend with my shield?
Yes, you can.
65% in shield. It says it blocks attacks, 25 health points.
Yep, that's fine. You don't need to. He fails. He very nearly drops his sword. The other one comes at you.
Can I also shield?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And I would.
Ooh, 0.6 out of 75%.
Okay. Your shield takes 9 points of damage.
Right.
No, it doesn't. It takes more than that. Your shield takes 18 points of damage.
Wow.
As he overhand brings the sword two-handed down straight towards your face. You put the shield in the way and the sword comes through it. Whoa. Stopping inches from your face. He impaled. If he'd hit you, it would have been bad. But yeah, he's also trying to drive the sword down into your face. Which is why him and his friends don't see the... Well, he's obviously a holy man. He's gone into war wearing white robes emblazoned with a red cross. He is also wielding, in one hand, a morning star, and in the other hand, another morning star. he comes hurtling over the wall and just sort of lays about. And these are the ones with a metal spiky ball attached by chain to a stick. And he just sort of flails around himself. You have no idea how he doesn't hit himself with them, because they're not the easiest way to... easiest way to fight. But this is the cleric Aliamuse of Clary, a.k.a. the mad cleric Aliamuse of Clary. And he's giggling to himself and rampaging around, and it's just too much for the Greeks. They're busy fighting you, and then he comes over the wall, and that's it. They leg it. And he just sort of stomps into the tower. On the top of the tower, there's a lot of crossbowmen firing down towards something. But if you jump off the inside of this wall, you can get at the guys who are shoring up the gate and keeping the gate shut.
Right, let's get that gate open.
Oh, sounds good to me. Are you ready, Gilles?
Yes. Looking at my shield going,
You still have a sword sticking out of your shield.
Hmm.
He's driven it through the metal. Bloody hell, that was a hard one.
Hmm.
Well then, I guess we'll go downstairs then. And he just steps off the wall. He seems to do that a lot.
He'll have no knees left in a year's time.
And then you hear a clashing sound down at the bottom, as if he's fighting people. What are you two doing?
Jump. When you say jumping, is there no way of sort of lifting yourself down?
Well, you could do that, yes, but if there are enemies down there, they might stab you in the bottom.
Okay.
As you're hanging, loosely. One quick thrust and...
I do not have jump as a skill, so I have the base of 20.
Mm. And what could go wrong in your armour?
Everything. But fuck it, I want the glory, so... Yeah.
So, jump rolls for plenty then, please.
Death or glory.
20.
Fair enough.
I just failed. How badly would that hurt me? Can we really bad?
It won't kill you, but you will fall over, definitely.
I think I might spend, like, 3 luck and pass that.
Yeah, that's fair. You both jump down and... As you're jumping, you notice there's a barrel beneath you and just push up a little bit extra just as you're going. You sort of land in a bush. It's not a spiky bush, luckily. And off around the corner, you can see, like, Andrew is wailing around himself with these swords. Off in the distance, on your left, you can see Goat Marie has come out of the bottom of that tower he attacked. And he's now sort of looking around and rushing in your direction, but he's a bit trapped because there's a big burning pile of dead Byzantines.
Oh, yes, that.
As you come around the corner, you can see Andrew is fighting, like, 6 Byzantians on his own. It's not going great for him, let's be honest.
Rush in and help him.
Okay. So, one on the right, one on the left.
I'll go right, you go left.
Okay.
Well, 2 on the right, 2 on the left.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So you charge in on the ones on the right.
Uh-huh.
One of them defends with fighting, but not very well.
I'll spend 1 luck to pass that.
You hit him.
Yay.
As he fails to parry and riposte.
5.
There's a clang as you hit his breastplate.
Done.
Yes, pass.
Just a pass?
Just a pass.
He parries your sword to the side and then tries to stab you. He's not as strong as the other one, but he does see you 5 points of damage unless your armour can stop it.
D8. 2.
So you take 3 points of damage as he finds a chink in your armour and just sort of slides the sharp end of his blade in. Andrew responds by, failing utterly to kill the guy in front of him and getting stabbed in the inner thigh. Not very deeply, but enough that he's swearing quite a bit. Behind them, you can see the big gates with the 1 bar across the gate in the hooks. If you can get that bar off, that will open the gate, probably for the horsemen. So, a couple of Byzantians are trying to fight you. Are you defending with fighting or with dodging?
I will defend with shield.
Fair enough. He just hits.
I half my defence.
Yeah. There's a clang as he does 1 point of damage to your shield.
Okay.
The other one then comes in.
Mm-hmm. Can I use shield again?
Yes, yes you can. But you're at a penalty die, because it's the second time you've been attacked.
Okay, would that count for any defence I used?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, I will go sword with that one, then.
Okay.
I still half.
You half it, which means you hit him.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because you're fighting. Yeah, you hit him instead.
I do 4 points on that one.
He takes a bit of damage, but his armor softens the blow a little bit. Hmm. Over on your side, a couple of Byzantians are attacking you as well.
Yay.
Not very well, but are you defending with fighting or shielding?
Shielding.
Okay, shield first.
Less than half.
You successfully shield the damage. Your shield does take 4 points of damage, right? You're going to need a new shield after this.
Yep.
And then the other one, remember you're on a penalty die now. Was it fighting or shielding?
Shielding is still my highest skill.
Fair enough.
Pass.
In which case, you successfully defend again, and your shield takes 2 points of damage.
Can I just chuck the shield now? It has 1 point of damage.
Clang! You just drop the shield. Well, you don't so much drop the shield as it falls off the straps. Over to you, Renault.
I will.
One of them's quite badly injured, one of them's not terribly badly injured.
I'll go for the more injured one.
Okay. He tries to fight back. Not terribly well, then.
I pass that.
Okay, you hit him.
Okay. That's penis-y.
I cocked.
4 points.
4 points. Again, you sort of lightly tap him. They've got armour on. It's just, it's not very strong armour. It's just you need to land a telling blow. In the middle, Andrew decapitates one of them.
Nice.
You can hear the sounds of what seems to be a frothing monk getting closer. Gilles.
Yes. Swording.
You sword long. He tries to defend. Fails.
I halved it.
In which case, you do damage. He fails utterly to parry.
5.
You hit him, and he gets a big gash across one arm. He's not looking too good. However, there are still 4 Byzantines fighting you both. Well, fighting each. Fighting you together. So, anyway, there's a load of Byzantines. There's all this fighting. You lot are still waiting in the boats for them to open the gate.
Mm-hmm.
2 Byzantines attack you. Do you shield or sword?
I'll shield the first one.
Shield the first one?
Yeah, I pass.
He misses, so your shield just takes 3 points of damage as it clangs off.
Okay.
I don't really explain how shields are supposed to work very well.
Hmm.
And then the second one?
It's penalty die, isn't it? So
yeah.
I will fight in that one.
Yeah, okay.
I don't pass that one.
It doesn't matter. He rolled 100.
Oh.
You do damage.
Oh, I get to do damage?
Yes, nice. Of course you do. You fought him.
That's 9.
He runs up your sword. Literally, he charges towards you and just runs up your sword and gets to your fist and punches you very lightly in the face and goes, looks down, goes, and slides off the sword. Andrew's like, they're committing suicide! They're mad! There's 2 on you, though.
Mm-hmm.
The first one comes in, shielding or armor? You can't shield, so you're fighting back now.
No, I'm dodging.
Oh, dodging.
Which I do.
Okay. Do you pass half or what?
Pass.
Well, because you're dodging and not fighting, you avoid him.
Mm-hmm.
The second one then comes at you. This time it's a penalty die.
No, I don't pass that.
He does get you. But I'm guessing your armor's going to save you 2 points of damage.
1 point of damage.
Okay. So he hits you. You get bruised through the chainmail, but it doesn't penetrate or anything. You've got maybe like some ring pattern on your stomach or something. Andrew continues fighting, and round the corner comes an angry looking cleric, who rushes one of the ones you're fighting. So you're now all fighting one guy only. Renner.
I'll fight the guy in front of me then.
Finish him.
I
don't quite half that, but I do pass it.
Yeah, he fails, so okay. Yeah, you hit him.
That is
11 points of damage.
Yeah, you know how I said finish him? He's sort of been fighting with you, and he brings his sword up to sort of crack you on the head, so you stab him through the armpit.
Oh,
right through everything in the chest.
Yeah, he sort of goes, ah! And then drops it. The mad monk hits himself with his weapon, I think. No, actually, he just sort of flails wildly at this dude who's basically parrying valiantly with his sword and being driven back towards the gates. Andrew gets stabbed again.
Stop getting stabbed.
This time the armor catches it. And then lastly, it's yourself.
Yeah, I can pass that.
He fails to parry and fight you back. Rolling damage.
Okay. You confused me because you were rolling.
Yeah, I was rolling armor.
10.
His armor does pretty well. It stops 4 points of that, but you've been slashing him up pretty liberally, and he just sort of faints. So you're now clear. Andrew isn't. The monk is driving the guy back towards the thing, and you're now clear.
Jill, a gate!
To the gate.
To the gate, try and get the bar off.
As you rush past the one fighting the monk, the monk's opponent makes a valiant effort to try and stab you on the way past.
I will try and parry him.
Okay.
Yeah, I half that.
Yeah, you can do damage.
That would be an 8.
Yeah. So you start rushing past and he just sort of goes, no! And brings his sword out to hit you in the chest and you hack his arm off. And then he gets flailed to the ground with two morning stars. You both reach the gates, you heave the giant plank off. Over in the boats, at the front, you've sort of been hanging back a bit because there's this steady fire of crossbow bolts going down towards the front of your boat. And it hasn't really enamored any of you of the heading out into the thing because from what you understand, you can only go about 5-10 feet and then you hit a gate. However, one of the more enterprising, who's grabbed a tower shield from somewhere and got off his horse, goes, "The gate's opening! The gate's opening!" And everybody's like... And then he goes, "It's open!" Fod, as a crossbow bolt goes through the top of his head. But everybody in front of you starts rushing forwards. The first rank don't do very well. They rush out and immediately go, ah, oh, ah, as they go flying off their horses in every which direction, covered in crossbow bolts like porcupines. The next rank, though, crosses the distance and starts heading into the city as the crossbow men are obviously reloading. What are you two doing?
How many of us left?
The first three waves are gone. The first two waves are dead, and then the last wave in front of you have just gone in.
They've gone, then we should probably go as well.
Okay, make me ride checks.
It's free for us to go. Ride?
Mm-hmm.
It's a skill.
It is.
It's a skill that monks seemingly don't have.
I have a riding horse. I don't have any riding skill.
Well, good.
Wonderful.
You have the base skill for ride.
With 5.
No, in medieval it would be 20.
Oh, okay, that's slightly better. Yeah, which I do not pass.
Okay.
Neither do I.
Okay, then.
You're a knight. I know.
You're both being hit by a crossbow bolt as you go then. Mr. Monk, you take 5. Do you have any armour?
Yes.
Probably for the best. Roll your armour.
Okay. That defends 1.
Okay, so you take 4 points of damage as you start riding out and
the bright sunrise, the bright sun, because you're coming from the inside of a boat, you charge out and the bright sun sort of makes you pause and you pull back on the reins and come to a stop and then get shot, which drives you to go forwards again.
Andre,
thank you. Andre and Gilbert, no. Andre and
David. Brother David.
You are also getting shot.
Oh, okay.
You also take 4 points of damage, but your armour probably stops some of that.
I've got DA protection.
Mm-hmm. Remember, if you've got a shield, you can also use your shield to try and stop the bolt.
Blocks. Does that just block damage rather than rolling?
Well, no, you'd roll to get the shield in the way, and then the shield takes the damage instead of you.
Right, I'll just roll my armour.
Okay.
I get 6.
Well, it hits you, and it goes pinging off a shoulder plate. You charge through the gate, seeing a couple... Well, you see Andrew de Urbois, he's still fighting a Byzantine. There's some horrific mincing machine thing that looks a bit like a monk. And another couple of your friends who were on the towers just sort of standing there. And you go rushing past and into the centre of Constantinople. Now, your target is to get to the Pantopoptes Monastery Hill, where the Byzantine Emperor's camp is. And rout the defenders there. And you're part of this charge going forwards. What weapons are you holding? Is it swords or lances or a mace in the case of Brother...
I've got a mace.
David?
So
Brother David has a mace. Do you have a shield?
No.
So he's riding like a riding pony and has a mace.
Yep.
Everybody around him is massive plate armour on these charger things. Most of the front ranks have got lances and shields. And then there's...
apparently, these were the main orders that accompanied the Fourth Crusade. And the monks often did have some sort of warrior background. So there may be other monks around as well.
No!
Okay, a flank of monks.
This was one of the main gates. It's mostly knights. You're fair actually enough. Quite blessed to be here.
Yes!
The first two ranks of this attack are all now dead. What about you, Andre?
I'm assuming I can't stash a lance anywhere.
You can have had a lance with you. You can have a lance.
No, but I mean... I would have to be holding a lance.
Yes.
Whereas I can have a sword in a...
Yes, you can have your sword in a scabbard and have a lance, or not, as you wish.
I think I'll go for the lance, then.
Okay. So you've got a lance, much like everybody else in this charge. And there's a main road ahead of you stretching out, and then it rises up to this hill. And on the top of this hill, there's like a... It's not really a defensive area, it's just a lot of tents and such still there. It's where the main part of the Emperor's army is. So most of the Crusaders who are with you are just charging headlong towards that. Ahead of you two, however, a small unit of Byzantines has stepped out of like an alleyway or something. And they're trying to form up ahead of you. What do you do? Are you going to try and ride round them or over them?
I'm assuming they're there to...
They're probably...
Disrupt our...
They're probably rushing to try and close the gate, to be honest. You're surprised that the gate's open. Because you lot weren't particularly certain whether that was going to be achievable. So it's quite impressive that the gate has actually been opened. But obviously the Byzantines didn't think it was going to happen either, and are now rushing to try and close it, while more and more horsemen just stream in through this one gate.
Well, I think we better make sure the goat...
Make sure the goats. The goat Maria's off that way.
Yeah, make sure the gate stays open.
Okay, so you charge the... Charge the Byzantines.
This is God's will.
Yeah, yes. Fair enough. God says, kill the fuckers!
Yep.
Right, I don't know how you do lances. Let's have a look. I suspect you probably roll your lance.
Says damage 1d8 plus horse damage.
Ah, yes, well, that'll be quite a bit. So, roll your lance, and he will roll his dodging. I will tell you what horse damage is, don't worry. It's probably in the keeper's rulebook.
So, what am I rolling here?
Your lance skill.
My lance skill.
Basically, as long as you pass, you're going to hit him.
I do not pass.
Do you fail by enough that you can't spend luck?
I rolled 98.
You drop your lance, later. But you certainly do not hit him. He dodges out of the way. He also failed. By the way, horse damage. Wow. Horse damage is 3d6.
Whoa!
You sort of charge towards this one Byzantine chap, and he just leaps out of the way at the last minute. Brother David.
I'll try and mace one.
You charge up and attempt to mace one.
I'm assuming I can do that from horseback.
Yes. You will gain a bonus damage-wise for being on horseback, by the way.
Oh.
But it's not as much as being, not as much as having a lance.
I passed.
Okay, you hit him because he fails to dodge. You can roll your normal damage plus 1d6 because you're striking down from above.
Okay, is it plus 1d6 instead of the normal damage bonus? Or as
no,
well as
it's your damage bonus plus an extra 1d6.
Okay, wow, okay, so I need a d4 and another d6. Has anyone got a d4 that can use?
Yes.
Awesome.
I've also got another d6 if you need it.
Thank you. I've only found one, and now I need, extra. Okay. 10. Yes.
Okay. You bring your mace crashing down on his metal helm. It's not really a good choice to go for the helmets of your enemies, because normally they're made of pretty good metal. This one, however, splits down the seam as you hit it, and you just crash your mace into the very top of his skull. There is a crunching sound as he topples over and goes beneath the hooves of your horse. The guy who dodged out the way of you, Andre, attempts to reach up to stab at you. You can either fight back, which is difficult with a lance, or...
I've dropped my lance.
Oh, yes. Yes. Because you... No, you rolled 98. You wouldn't drop it.
Oh, okay.
But you could do it at this point.
Yeah, I'm obviously not good with lances.
Well, you are. It's just that once you've closed with them, it's not easy to fight with.
No. But there's no way of, shouldering it or whatever to...
Well, you can just sort of stab it into the ground next to you and then sort of dodge it.
Oh, yeah, I'll stab it into the ground then and try and dodge. I'm assuming I can't. I haven't got time to pull my sword.
No.
I'll just try and dodge them.
Okay.
I pass.
You managed to dodge him.
Ooh.
It's a shame you didn't fight back, because he failed. Oh. You stab your lance into the ground next to you so you can pick it up again if you want to. Dodge out of the way as he waves this sort of relatively short, sharp-looking sword at you. A couple of the other knights have also tried to ridden down their blades. One guy has just speared one of the Byzantines clean through the chest and is now riding down the road, sort of dragging him, trying to get him off the lance. Another one charged into two or three Byzantines and hit nothing. And they've dragged him off his horse in the process of kicking, punching and stabbing him. Most of the rest of the guys have streamed past, though, heading towards the camp at the end of the road. What would you like to do?
How many are there left in this little valley?
There's the one you're fighting.
Yep.
The one he was fighting is gone.
Yeah.
He's just fallen down with blood coming from his helmet. There's three or four fighting this chap over here. most of your guys are just rushing straight through, so it's about to get a bit hairy, because they're about to outnumber you. Although there are some people back at the gate who might come up, like, not this turn, but next turn, maybe? Depending on whether you decide to. You could just let the glory boys get killed, that would be funny too, right?
I feel I should finish off this guy who's
okay.
annoying me.
So you whip out your sword and make an attack?
Yes.
He will attempt to fight back.
Dry half.
Okay. Despite the fact that he rolled a success, you still beat him and do a load of damage. Remember, you're getting a plus 1d6 for being above him on a horse.
Ha ha. Your dice. That is 8. 11.
Well, his armour defends him pretty well. He's still really badly injured, though. Like, really badly injured. But, oh no, he fails his constitution check. He's unconscious. He falls over. He isn't dead.
Well, that's good. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's fine. Brother. There's those three guys over there stabbing and generally killing the knight who's on the floor. He's just dropped his one. You've dropped your one. Everybody else is just streaming from the beach. It looks like a few more of the horse boats have reached the beach now, and they're all streaming down the road, basically ignoring
the knight who's on the floor. Just how screwed is he?
You're fairly certain he's dead, or very soon to be. He's still sort of moving around, but they're jabbing swords and knives into the joints of his armour and such.
Right.
It's not good times to be that knight.
It's not.
Don't worry. Archive has actually just lapsed into silence and we're waiting for her to say anything.
Yeah, it's...
Come on, Brother David!
It's the, literally, what's he going to do while he waits for...
So, not a lot is the answer. He does have a mace still.
He does have a mace. You know what? These people are attacking this person.
He's obviously pious. Because he's a crusader, and they're all pirates.
So, I think I should probably try whacking one of them.
Okay. You ride up behind one and just sort of go, bonk! Make me roll. He attempts to fight back, incidentally.
Okay. That is a halving.
Okay, that's good. You hit him.
Right. Wonderful.
Remember, you're on a horse.
I am on a horse.
I'm dropping dice.
I don't have a key for that. Hooray. Oh, that's a 4. Okay. Golly. My word. That's a 15.
Okay. I should point out, I rolled pretty well for the guy's armour.
Okay.
But I was like, oh, that's going to be unfortunate. So basically, you ride over and you're like, I'm not having this. I clock one guy in the ear with your mace. Now, that should just have, like, rung his bell a little bit, maybe got him off. Let's try that again. Maybe got him off the guy he's stabbing. Not got him off. I mean, that's a very interesting little love tap there. But,
donkey punch!
Anyway. So you walk up and just give him a little love tap around the side of the head, which caves the side of his skull in and causes brain and blood to squirt out the front of his helmet. You two are over by the gate. There is horseman after horseman after horseman after horseman now streaming through the gate. Further up the street, though, you've seen a small group of horsemen engage this group of Byzantines and come out the side of an alley. One rode in and failed utterly to lance anything, and then just sort of stuck it in the ground and started fighting with a sword. And there's this monk, and so far he's shattered one person's helmet in one blow and then caved someone's skull in with another. At the moment there's like three people still fighting there, the knight who missed, the monk, and this knight who fell off his horse and is lying on the ground being repeatedly stabbed by Byzantines. They're a bit of a ways off. You'd have to spend a turn running to get there.
There's not really anything else going on at the moment. Is Andrew okay?
Oh, yeah, he did finally finish that guy off, but he's having a little sit-down, as he seems to be bleeding from a lot of places.
I just want to make sure he's not going to, like, bleed out.
Oh, no, I'm absolutely fine. I've been stabbed in the groin before.
Eh, it's just a stab. Let's go!
All right, let's go. Help these other ones.
Okay, so you start heading down the street towards these two. Andre!
Right.
There's still two blokes over at the fallen knight.
Okay.
Because there was three, and then the brother did the thing that the brother does. I hate to think what's going to happen when he rolls a critical.
Doesn't just being on a horse thing?
Well, yeah.
Man spontaneously explodes.
Being on a horse is a massive benefit.
Yeah.
Because you're striking down on people.
Being on a horse is amazing.
Yeah.
You do this all the time.
If you're charging on a horse with a lance, it's even worse. We worked it out. Horse damage is
3d6.
Yeah! I love how that echoed.
Right, I will... I've got my sword, haven't I?
Yes, you do. Your lance is over by the wall.
Yeah.
Stab him.
Yes. I shall continue with the sword and poke the Byzantines there.
Okay, you rush over and one of them tries to fight you off.
Give them a poke, let's get them off.
Yeah.
No, it's smashing them around the head that gets them off, come on.
That's one heck of a case of massacre.
I love my brain squirting out through my nose. It's amazing.
It feels
like a lifetime sensation.
I pass.
Okay, you hit him because he very much failed.
And I'm doing...
Remember horse damage.
So that's 7 on the d8.
Okay, well, it's 1 point of damage from the D8 then, because of his amazing armour, it turns out. But then you've got your damage bonus and the horse bonus.
Yeah, so 2.
So 3 points of damage so far.
And then 3d6, yeah?
No, just 1d6.
Just 1d6.
You don't get the full horse damage when you're using a sword.
Oh, okay, so that's 1. So that's...
4 you end up doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you bring your sword down on his shoulder. Again, his pauldron takes most of the damage, but you get his attention and he stops stabbing the guy down on the ground. Brother David, there's one guy stabbing the guy on the ground now. The other one seems to have been, well, his shoulder has been lightly damaged and he's turned to face Andre.
I'll go have a go at the other one.
Fair enough. You trot the horse over and wrap him round the skull.
Yes, that does succeed. That's a success.
He...
No, that is a half.
Okay, you hit him then.
Right. Brother David is quite good at macing.
Brother David is the Izzy of his time, is what we're saying.
That's 9.
Oh, dear. Well, okay, it's not as impressive as your previous two, but you do, as he turns, because he hears your horse coming, as he turns... you sort of hit him in the face, and he's got an open face helm.
Oh.
And you make the part of his face that sticks out from where the helm stops into a flat line with the rest of the helmet. Oh. He sort of clutches at his face and drops to the floor, and goes unconscious. The guy who you tried to stab, Andre, tries to give you a going over. Do you fight back, or do you dodge, or shield, I suppose?
I will shield.
Okay.
Can I spend luck to pass?
Yes, you can.
I shall spend 2 luck to pass.
Yeah. Because that would have been embarrassing, because he actually sort of failed. So, right, he sort of wraps your shield for 3 points of damage, but nothing much else. By this point, you two have reached the fight. The fight that looked a little bit uneven looks a lot more even now, in that there's a monk and a knight fighting one guy. Because the monk has killed everybody else. And the knight got one too. What would you like to do?
I'll stab the one guy who's left standing.
Fair enough. He will try and fight you. Oh my god.
I halved.
He hits you.
Okay.
He rolled... Right, he had a penalty die, and he rolled 3 twice.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, he actually fights back and stabs you.
Okay, fair enough.
For 7 points of damage.
Wow. Okay, roll my armor. Can I have D8, please? So, how many points of damage was that?
7.
Okay. I block 5 of it, so,
so
I take 2
you're
points.
Rushing in to try and get this guy in the back, and he glances back as he sees you coming, reverses his sword, and just jams it back into your stomach as you run up to him. It catches you right in the stomach and pierces part of your armour, driving a couple of rings into your flesh. Gilles?
Yes?
He's got 2 penalty dies now. He will attempt to fight back, however.
Pass.
He fails. Okay. With 2 penalty dice, it's a lot harder to critical your damage.
5.
His armour stops it. This guy is blessed of whatever god he worships, which is totally the same god as you are. But never mind! Andre, a couple of foot soldiers who you recognise have rushed in and have failed to do anything against this one dude who's just basically stabbed one of them in the gut and then took the blow of the second one just, like, in the chest.
Right, okay. Well, I'm not keen on killing people, particularly if they're good Christians, but, you know, this guy's...
Well, he's obviously using evil powers to stay alive, isn't he?
Absolutely, I mean, and, you know...
That's the only possible explanation for this.
He's killed the knight on the floor, so...
The knight is sort of feebly sort of going... But yeah, he's pretty much...
Yeah.
You're fairly certain that knight is dead.
So I'll sword him.
Fair enough. This is the start of a new round, isn't it? He defends pretty damn well.
I half.
He also halves, so you hit him.
Okay. So that's
this D8. Might be his lot. D8 plus your damage bonus plus horse bonus. Wow.
A 2 and 2 ones.
So he takes 3 points of damage then. His armour doesn't really save him from this one. You sort of slash him across the face. He's wounded, but he isn't down yet.
Okay.
Brother David. It's time to go to work.
We'll see.
This guy is doing pretty well, though. He's fighting 4 guys. His luck's about to end, though.
Oh, no. I missed.
So did he. So, nobody hits.
Yeah.
Renault.
I'm Renault. Yeah, I hit.
Yeah, his first one was a pass, but the second two were not.
That would be 9.
Yeah, his 2 point of armor save doesn't save him this time.
Sorry, dude.
Angered by his stabbing of you, and then his seeming ability to shrug off the damage of one knight and the parrying out of the way of the brother's attack, you're a bit angered with him, and you just sort of smash the sword into the back of his helmet where it covers the neck, and he just sort of goes down. At this point, like, horses are streaming past, and up ahead you can see, like, troops rushing into that group of tents up at the far end where you believe the emperor is, and they're shouting and screaming, and fire everywhere, and dust, and you sort of fade to black. You can all go ahead and regain any wounds that you've taken. And you can go and get another shield.
Woo-hoo!
Because yours is utterly fucked.
Can I get mine touched up?
You can get fresh shields. Okay. And fresh lances.
Oh,
and fresh horses.
I didn't use my horse. My horse is somewhere off having a party.
You're all clipped. It's not Chiswick, is it? Chizik, fresh horses!
Of course it is Chizik.
Oh, right. That was a Blackadder joke. If you haven't watched Blackadder, what the fuck are you doing with your life? But anyway, I keep saying that again. It's a few days later. It is, in fact, the second morning of what is now known as the sack of Constantinople. And you... Where are you all?
Set up some kind of camp? Or?
Well, you sort of... Well, you see, this is the thing. Technically speaking, what you're supposed to do is enter the city, defeat the enemy, and then camp outside and not do any looting or, you know, ravishing or, like, hoisting people out of their houses so that you can live in their houses or anything like that. What did you do on the first day of the sack of Constantinople? Renault!
Looted stuff.
Oh, of course you did.
I tried to be smart about it. No, since we're officially supposed to not be looting, indeed. I'm making sure I loot stuff that is easily hideable.
So, know. Like jewellery?
Jewellery, actual coinage, that sort of stuff. Gems, that sort of stuff. Not like not stealing someone's fucking chandelier.
Okay. And where are you staying? Are you in the city?
Yeah, I'm in the city. I haven't hoisted anyone out of their house or anything.
You've just
I found an abandoned house.
Okay, you found an abandoned house.
I have standards.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Gilles?
Probably had a poke about in the city.
Mm-hmm. Looking for anything in particular?
Well, I'm kind of thinking holy relics aren't just going to be... I don't know where they're going to be.
You could go round all the churches.
I'm going to go round all the churches.
So you've been smashing in the doors of churches and looting the relics then, basically.
Yes.
Quite a few of the Frankish knights have had similar ideas, but where, like, you're stealing the relics and stuff, they are taking camp followers in and then having fun on the altars.
Well, I'll go past them and sort of...
and then rob the joint while they're busy.
Rob the joint.
André, de Troyes.
He's certainly not sacking the churches. He's not comfortable with that.
That whole thing. Oh, sorry. I forgot to ask where you end up. Where are you living?
Can I not stay with
yeah,
Renault?
Sure,
yeah.
Keep an eye out for each
other.
We're not going for the same stuff. So
back to André then.
André would probably be like following the other noble type families and camping outside.
Okay. So you're actually sticking to the rules.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Brother David.
Sticking to the rules, praying to God for guidance, and spreading the guidance amongst the rest of the crusade.
So, praying.
Being a monk. Yes.
So, wherever you all are, on the second day, you all get a summons. You are asked to come to see your direct superior, who is the Count, whose name I've lost.
Count Baldwin.
Count Baldwin, yes.
Count
who is
Baldwin.
At the Blachierne Palace for an immediate and private audience with him.
Ooh. Yes.
That's a little unusual, but it's fairly certain that you shouldn't say, oh no, I'm too busy looting the city, or I'm busy praying. As you make your various ways through the city, the place is in total disorder. Frankish knights and troops are rioting and pillaging, while the Venetians are pretty much systematically hauling treasure out of the city. The Franks have put whores in the churches. They're dressing their horses in hats and linen. they're assaulting and killing anybody who annoys them, and most of them are pissed. The leaders of your crusade have indicated that women are to be respected and all plunder is supposed to be given up to the common purse, but that does not seem to be happening at all. Eventually, you make your way to the Blachierne Paris, which is the headquarters of Count Baldwin. It's near to the city walls and still holds the remnants of various siege engines, but it doesn't look like there was much actual resistance here. It looks pretty much structurally intact. Knights and men are stripping the Paris and carrying the treasures down to the ships as you approach. The ladies of Count Baldwin's courts are also here, but it is relatively orderly enough. The palace is pretty big. It's like a conglomeration of various buildings, like churches, chapels, walls, stout wall buildings and so on. You all enter and ask after Count Baldwin, and after a little while, you're ushered to a tower on the sea walls. It's a chamber off one of the more palatial areas. There, inside, as you enter, there's a couple of quite impressive-looking knights on the door. And as you walk in, there's the Count and his brother, Henry of Flanders. There aren't any of the rest of his entourage, however, like nobody else. Ah, good. You're here. I have a very important mission. However, that's where we're going to end for the evening, as we've run out of time. So you'll just have to join us next week for another thrilling instalment of How Many Byzantines Does It Take to Stop a Frankish Knight? And it totally depends on luck and whether you've got a monk with you. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, then please feel free to talk to us at thecultureofteaanddice.net or send us email at thecultureofteaanddice@gmail.com. You can talk to us on Twitter at @cultteaanddice or me at @mordrigan or @bloodied at @bloodyfox or @archive at @tgremlin, also on the Twitters. Please feel free to leave us iTunes reviews. We would like to have thousands of those things. Nice ones, obviously. A thousand bad ones wouldn't really help us. But if you do enjoy us, please do give us an iTunes review. It makes people find us more easily. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Goodbye!
Bye. Bye.